Well, it's great to be with you this morning. I'm excited to be able to share with you again this week. As Paul already mentioned, Peter will be back next week, so it will be exciting to have him back. Also, the last couple of weeks, we've had a group from YWAM that has joined us for church, and they actually have headed off to Mexico for 2.5 months to do an outreach trip. So I encourage you over these next couple months to think about them, pray for them as they're out there helping, and pray for those that they're ministering to. And so it's just kind of fun and exciting. We get different groups there coming in and realizing that we are one big church spread out across the entire world working towards one goal. And well, this week we are continuing our series, Faith That Shakes. Our heart coming into the 2014 year is being confident in who God is and having faith in who He is and what He calls us to do, that we all have a part to play and that God wants to use us. 2013 was an amazing year for church in the marketplace. So many amazing things happened. But 2013 is behind us. We got 2014 ahead. It's exciting. And I truly believe in my heart that God has some big things for the church here and also for everyone in here as individuals. That we need to have faith and trust God that He wants to use us and be part of that. Soon we'll be going into the auditorium, which will be a big move. And there will be some growing pains. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And so today, as we continue this series, we focused last week on how God is faithful to the point of death and how we are saved because really it's the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to fulfill all the promises and all the covenants that He had with Israel in the Old Testament. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we looked at this last week. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith. Indeed, by the faithfulness of God's Son, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Our life, our restoration, is a result of Christ, Jesus, being faithful to the point of death. And that when we believe in Him, when we put our trust in Him, we come into His family. We come into His kingdom. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, was a popular phrase during the time of Jesus, which basically means it just is referring to the fact that God is becoming king in and through Jesus. He's establishing His ruling reign, which means to set the world right and to restore His creation. So that's what Christ came to do. Christ came to restore His creation. So that's what it means for His kingdom to come. We looked at the Lord's Prayer earlier today. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus taught us to pray, our prayer is for God's kingdom to come on earth. And it has come in and through Jesus, and it is still coming today. His restoring power is spreading throughout the world. And we're called as part of His kingdom to take part in that work. And we need to be confident that God wants to use us and be confident when He calls us to do something that He will be faithful to equip and guide us to do so. And we know He is faithful because we looked at that last week, how He was faithful to His word to restore humanity, restore creation. And Jesus is the ultimate example of faithfulness. And so today we're going to look at our identity. The title of the message is Our Identity and Mission. It's so important to understand our identity when we start to talk about how God wants to use us. And we need to have faith who God has called us and made us to be. So we're going to look at our identity today. But before we get started, I have an important question. Does anyone love jigsaw puzzles? Come on, raise your hand up. Jigsaw puzzles. Now, do you like the 300, 400, 500? Or do you like several thousand? To the point where you have a massive table and you just dump it out and just look at the goodness and say, look what I get to do. Yes? No? Maybe? Some shaking their heads, no. Maybe lack of patience there. Don't worry, I'm right there with you. I'm excited at first. Like, oh, look what I get to create. But then 30 minutes into it, I'm like, 5 pieces together. This is a nightmare. I'm ready to do something else. Today, metaphorically, we're going to put together a puzzle. The reason I preface this early is Because I'm going to throw some big ideas out there. And some of these big ideas can easily be a message within itself. But my goal today is to look at these different big ideas and piece them together and see how they fit together to help us understand our identity that is in Christ, and then what that actually means, and then what that actually looks like. So I just ask you, just please bear with me. I know I could be jumping around, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's throwing so much information out there, what's going on? I'll bring it together at the end, and also in the newsletter, I reference a lot of the main points and verses. So if you don't write anything down, there's a piece of paper for you to take with you. But we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. This gives a great understanding of the identity that we have. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possessions. You have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who called you out of darkness into his amazing light. Once you weren't a people, but now you are God's people. Once you hadn't received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The first puzzle piece I want to look at today is that little phrase, a royal priesthood. This is a significant identity that we have in Christ. These words are loaded with goodness. You could research for days and hours. I could talk about the word royal and what it means to be royal in God's kingdom all morning. But again, I'm just going to reference a few things. Okay, royal priesthood. What's the idea? When you think of royalty, you think of kingship, stewardship, you think of ruling, reigning. So God's called us to rule and reign here on earth, to share his kingdom, to be good stewards of his good news, to be good stewards of his creation. And that we are bringing God's wise, healing order to the world as a ruler in God's kingdom. Okay, one puzzle piece. Next one, priesthood. What did the priesthood do in the Old Testament? They were in charge of the sacrificial system in the temple. Oh man, you could talk about that for days. There are seminary classes that will spend weeks on just that alone. But the priests represented the people to God. That was one of their main goals, summarized in one statement. They represented the people to God. And so we are to represent humanity to God. And so the best explanation I've seen is by a scholar by the name of N.T. Wright when he explains this idea of the royal priesthood. He uses an example of a mirror. I wish I had a big mirror. But if I had a big mirror standing here, those on the right side of the room, my left, and those on the left side of the room, my right, would be able to see the other room by just looking in the mirror because it's angled. You wouldn't have to look across from them, but you could see them just by looking at the mirror. Does that make sense? And so we are an angled mirror. As a royal priesthood, we are an angled mirror. So we are reflecting God's ruling reign here on earth, and then we are reflecting praise and worship back up to God. And so that's what it means to be a royal priest in God's family, in God's kingdom. Next, a holy nation. Next puzzle piece, a holy nation. What does it mean to be a holy nation? Well, to be holy means to be set apart. So God has set apart us to be his representatives here on earth. And part of being set apart is the purifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives also. So God has purified us, set us apart to be good stewards of his kingdom message, and then to reflect praise and honor back to him. That's not our mission. That's wrapped up in our identity. That's who we have become in Christ, which is fascinating. Because who we have become in Christ isn't just a hat we put on. Oh, I am a holy royal priest in God's kingdom. I'm going to put on my fancy robe, put on my little king hat, and walk around. No, being a holy royal priest in God's kingdom means that we have been transformed. It's a transformation that we have experienced in and through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. So our identity isn't just an outward appearance, but our identity is who we have become. Just like a butterfly becomes a butterfly from being a caterpillar, it is transformed. So when we enter into God's kingdom, He transforms us into this identity. And that's what we can have confidence in, is that we have been transformed into a royal priest in God's kingdom. And we have confidence in that, and our confidence that is not in ourselves, but in who we have become in Christ. And I realize that can be a bit overwhelming. One, what does that actually look like? You know, do I wear "I'm a Christian" across my shirt and says I'm in the world but not of the world? So every time I go to work, everyone knows that I'm a Christian. I'm set apart by God to do His work. And no, I wouldn't say that. Or is it, okay, I'm a royal priest in God's family and His kingdom. I'm established as this so I can share His good work, share His good acts, as we saw in verse 9 in 1 Peter 2. That we have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who called you. So every important business meeting you have, you stand up in the middle of it and say, hold on. Before we go any further, this means nothing unless we come to know who Jesus is. Is that what it means? Is that how we walk out being a royal priest? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it seems scary to you to be a royal priest in God's kingdom. Maybe that seems like a difficult thing to uphold or a difficult thing to walk out. At times I think, that's difficult. That's a heavy weight to carry. But it's not. Because again, the beautiful thing is, our identity is a result of a transformation. A transformation from the inside out. So before we can talk about what that looks like on the outside, we got to talk about what has actually taken place on our inside. So the next puzzle piece, let's talk about the transformation that we have talked about, that we have experienced on the inside. And this refers to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now the reality is, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the outpouring or the baptism of the Holy Spirit are the two most unifying things in Christianity today. Or should be. Let me rephrase that. The reality is, they should be. But unfortunately, once the topic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes up, tension kind of starts creeping in. It builds up. And unfortunately, it's probably created more division in the church today than almost anything else. Would you guys agree? Anyone in here? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you're terrified where I'm trying to go right now. And everyone's like, oh man, this is going to be interesting. Now, this is the thing is, when you start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get people in different camps. Some people say, oh, it's a moment at salvation. It's a moment right when someone's saved, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Others, people would say, oh, it's a second blessing. It's something completely separate than that. Others would say, either way, happens both. Or others will try to focus on, hey, we're filled with, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit daily. And that's the camp they will focus on. Now, I'm not up here to talk about every single one of those. I'm not up here to try to add fuel to the fire of the division that is in the church with that topic. What I'm up here to do today is focus on the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, what it actually means for the Holy Spirit to be poured out into us. Because we have to understand that transforming power that we experience on the inside to truly understand our identity, then to truly understand what our identity means and what that means in our world today. So we'll start from the inside out. Remember, I'm throwing these puzzle pieces out there. We'll gradually start bringing them together. Hang in there with me. So the first passage of Scripture I want to look at is in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. But when God our Savior's kindness and love appeared, He saved us because of His mercy, not because of righteousness things we had done. He did it through the washing and new birth and renewing by the Holy Spirit, which God poured out upon us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So since we have been made righteous by His grace, we can inherit the hope for an eternal life. Right there, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God pours out the Holy Spirit into our life. We are restored, regenerated, washed, cleansed. Wow! So when we talk about being a priest, being a royal priest in God's kingdom, we have gone through a washing, a regeneration. And that's something to be confident about. Okay, jumping ahead. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We are destined by the plan of God who accomplishes everything according to His design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit because you believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is a down payment on your inheritance, which is applied toward our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. The Holy Spirit's a seal of our salvation and a down payment of the inheritance to come. When Christ returns, that we can have confidence in our relationship with God because He has poured out His Holy Spirit into us. So confidence in our identity is gained. Is everyone still with me? Some nods, a couple closed eyes. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. Paul's talking to the church in Thessalonica, early Christians, that the Spirit has made them holy, that they have been set apart, that they have been purified by the Holy Spirit. So earlier when we talked about our identity being a holy, royal priesthood, Holy Spirit is definitely involved in that process. And so we have been set apart, not on our own accord, but by the power of God. Get into the good stuff. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Wow! I will receive power when the Holy Spirit is poured out on me. I can have confidence, again, not in myself, not in who I am, but who I am in Christ. That is the identity marker. That is the identity that I have become that I can be confident in. Sorry, it's not an identity marker, but it's an identity that we have become. And then we have confidence, again, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And very much connected to that is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. Really, this whole chapter, but I was trying to condense it a little bit. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives you, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. We have been restored. We've been washed. We've been regenerated. We have given a seal of our salvation to have confidence in the work that God is doing in us. Then He pours out the Holy Spirit and power in us. And the Spirit equips us with gifts to do His work. How fascinating is that? How awesome is that? Am I the only one that is excited about that? Anyone else excited about that? That is good news. God gives me gifts to live out my identity that He has turned me into. He doesn't leave me to just try to do it on my own, but He equips me with His power and gifts to do so. And we don't all have to be the same. There's different works of service that are out there, and there's different gifts. And that's why we come together as a church and work together to do something special. And that's why I think 2014 is going to be a special year. Because we're going to unite. We're going to do some things that are special through the power of the Spirit of God. We're going to do some practical things like moving into the auditorium. I just think there's something else that is there that's going to happen this year, which is going to be really exciting. Because this is the reality. We looked at this a little bit last week, is that we are referred to as the temple of God where the Spirit of God dwells. And how we go throughout our days carrying the Spirit of God in us and sharing that. And so when we are looking at the reality that we are a royal priesthood that is holy, that is set apart, here to share the good news of the gospel, we have confidence that God empowers us to do so. And this is the thing, yes, understanding the gospel to the point where you can then communicate it with your words is vital and is important. There's a mental aspect that you can really communicate, and you can have some amazing different discussions with people that are struggling. And there's amazing apologists out there that will have the most intellectual conversations with people, which is fascinating. That helps people to come to know Jesus. But you can have confidence also, even though you may think that you cannot articulate the gospel perfectly, that you can still take part in the kingdom work, because the gospel doesn't just come in word, but it comes in word and power. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being destroyed, but it is the power of God for those of us who are being saved. So our identity is in Christ as a holy, royal priest. We have been transformed from a caterpillar into a butterfly, into this new identity through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. We live out this identity. It's not, again, something that we just can take on and off. But this is who we are. Our identity is missional. So we said identity and mission was the topic of the sermon today. Well, the reality is our identity is missional. You cannot separate the two. Because who we have become in Christ, who we have become in Christ is something special. It's something that should make an impact everywhere we go. Last week I said we would look at what's this look like practically. Okay? I am a holy royal priest. You've told me that. So you walk out here, holy royal priest. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. What does that actually look like today? Let's bring it together now. What does that mean? What does that look like in your families? What's that look like in your friendship? What's that look like in your workplace? What's that look like in your neighborhood? How do you live out this new identity that you have? I'm up here telling you that your new identity is missional. Well, what's your first step? What do you do? What's that look like? We see in Romans, yes, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. There's an aspect where we verbally communicate the Word of God. But you don't always have the opportunity to do that. So what else does that look like? Well, I think Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, gives a great summary of what this actually practically looks like in our life. So we'll look at this. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. And be thankful people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through Him. This is what it looks like. These are the characteristics that should be a part of the identity that we have become. These are the things that we should be reflecting in our families, in our communities, in our workplace. When you represent these things, in combination of being willing and open to open your mouth and explain the Gospels to others, you put that hand in hand. That's what it means to be a royal priest in God's kingdom, to spread His kingdom, to spread His restoration. When you live this out, and we can live this out because of the restoring, empowering work of the Holy Spirit that gives us gifts to do so. We are set up for a win. We are set up ready to fly, to bust out of that cocoon and fly and really take part and be confident in the wings that God has given us. Because we are confident in the identity that He has transformed us in and nothing else. That is fascinating. So I encourage you this week to look at all these descriptive words. I really encourage you to try to read Colossians chapter 3, specifically verses 12 to 17, and ask yourself, am I compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient with my family? Woo! Just came out of the holidays. Crazy time. Sometimes tension can be high between families. I see some smiles out there. I see some grins. Are these the characteristics that you are reflecting? Because these are characteristics of who you are. This is who you are. Because you are a royal priest in God's kingdom. This is who you are. So be confident to walk it out. Be confident that this is the characteristics that you really can live out. Because this is who God has made you into being. That is awesome. So I think sometimes we can, kind of be shy or feel like, I can't do that. Again, we get the forgiveness topic that comes back up. That's difficult. But we're called to forgive. To put on love. To be thankful people. To be optimistic people. Not to be pessimistic. But look at the good in people. Believe in people. Be thankful for what we have. We're not people that should be focused on everything that we don't have. We should be focused on what God has given us. And it says to teach and warn each other with all wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is just not yelling at people, do this, do that. What are you doing? No, wisdom is the ability to understand what knowledge and truth is and then communicate it in an effective way that actually impacts the people around you. That's wisdom. And to live a life that sings songs and praises to God, that worships Him, the priestly aspect of who we are, to lift up our voices in gratitude to Him. And verse 17, everything we do is for His glory. So every action, every word we say is for the spreading of His kingdom. Giving gratitude back to God for who He is. God wants to use each and every one of you, but God wants to use us as a church to impact Bondi Junction area. So today, leave being confident in who God has called you to be. Be confident that God is a faithful God. That He has equipped you to live out this new identity. This is who you are. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have accepted Him as your King, this describes you. Now be confident to walk it out. Talk to people in your life to help you to walk this out. And then don't hesitate to look for those opportunities in your neighborhood and your job to share the good news of the gospel, to actually tell people about who Jesus is and be confident that the power of the Holy Spirit will be present. Don't squash the Holy Spirit. It is the power in our identity and it's the power of the gospel that really makes a difference in the lives around us. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to invite the music team back up. We'll sing a song, but I'd like to pray first. Lord God, we are grateful for who you are. We are thankful for who you have transformed us into, that we can be confident in the identity that we are in you, that in Christ we are something special because of your regenerating work, your power of the Holy Spirit. So Lord God, help us to walk this out in our day-to-day lives. Help us to reflect you in every aspect of ourselves, that we can be confident in who you have made us to be. We love you, God, for that. Let the Holy Spirit be at work in our lives. Let us be open to the different gifts so we can really be a light to this dark world around us. That we can be confident that we can take part in your work. That we can be confident that we can really reach our unsaved family members. That we can be confident to share a word of maybe prophecy with our neighbor that could be the impactful moment that they understand that the Spirit of God is real. Lord God, let us be open to your work in our lives. And let us be confident in the identity that we have become, that you have set us apart to be your royal priest in your kingdom, to spread your power here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.